We're on now. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. And we are tonight going to finish up on the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we are looking at the Spirit will give guidance, leadership wisdom, and unity to the church concerning its visions and decisions. So, Acts 15, 28. Says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the wonderful weather we've enjoyed this day. We thank you for the fact that we have your word, that we can come and we can hear from your word and apply to our lives the things that we learn, and then take them out and share them with others. And so my prayer is that we are doing that on a regular basis. We're learning things that we can share with others, and they too can enjoy the blessings of your word. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. We thank you for each one here, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Spirit's going to give us guidance. It's going to give us leadership, wisdom, unity in the church. Yeah, isn't that nice? Unity in the church. How do you get unity in the church? We come together in like mind, like faith, and we follow it the way God says. There's not disunity in churches when everybody's doing it God's way. We end up with disunity in the church when people decide they want it their way. I remember years ago, it's my way or the highway attitude. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. My way or the highway does not work in God's house. It's God's way. If you don't like God's way, well, take it up with Him. Let Him correct you, because it's God's way. It has to be God's way. But He says, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. He didn't want to overburden them with things that weren't necessary. Necessary things. We have a tendency to think that our wants are necessary. Doesn't work that way. Our wants are not necessary. In fact, I had a discussion with two people this afternoon, and we were talking about that. Wants or needs? And the other man that was in the room said, I have a hard time with that because my wants seem to be very important to me. I said, your wants, it doesn't matter who you are, seem important to you, right? Well, I want this, so I got to have it. No, if it's a want, you don't have to have it. If it's a need, then out of necessity, you do need it. And that's the way I always say, if you're in the store and you look at things and you go, man, I really, really want that. Stop and ask yourself, is it a want or a need? And if you're getting wants over needs, some point in time, the needs aren't going to be met, and you're going to have an oversupply of wanted stuff that doesn't really matter when the needs aren't being met. And so we have to understand. And I always like the fact when they don't ask for more than they need, right? We've had missionaries, they've come to us and they said, we need X dollars for this project. They don't go out and say, we need an unlimited amount of money for this project. They tell us how much they need and how much they're trying to raise. So far, I've never heard of anything that a missionary has asked us for to pray about. They don't actually ask us for money, they ask us more to pray about it. But if God would lead us, then to help them financially. But they've always asked for things, and it's the amount has always been in line with the request. I've never seen an exorbitant amount of money for something that wasn't in line. Brother Ekno, for instance, he asked for $1,200 to give people a home and a well. Try to do that here. You're not getting the home for sure. And let me just clue you, the well isn't coming in at 1,200 either. So it's amazing what he does with 1,200 bucks. And it changes the lives of the lepers that he's ministering to in a huge way. And so he never asks for more. So he's not trying to give us a greater burden than the need. And then the Spirit will call, lead, and empower pastors. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." It's one thing I tell people. In fact, another guy the other day mentioned he's considering going into the ministry. I said, well, first of all, have you been called? Has God called you into the ministry? If you're doing it just because you think it's a great idea, because, you know, pastors only work one day a week anyway, I've heard that more times than I care to remember, but because they come up with that idea, they think it's easy. It's not as easy as you think it is. And people think, well, you know, at night, I've been told several times, you know, if you want to get a good night's sleep, just shut the phone off at night. I can't tell you how many over the night phone calls I've received. If I shut the phone off, I'm not going to get the calls that the people are calling in to tell me or to ask me to come and pray with them because somebody has just passed away or somebody's about to pass away or whatever. And it's not just one day a week. It's not the way it works. But God, if he has called us, he will lead us and he will empower us. That's why I always say, you don't get to tell me what to preach. That's God's job. He gets to lead. He gets to tell me. It's a blessing to me to hear when people say, man, that really touched my heart. Praise God. He knew you needed it. I didn't have a clue. But he knew you needed it. So thank God for that. So he will lead us, and then he empowers us. I was talking to a young pastor the other day. He says, every time I get up to the pulpit, I am a nervous wreck. I said, that's a good thing. He said, that's a good thing? I said, yes. I've been going through that, and God called me to preach in 1999, and I still go through that. I said, I'm going to give you some advice that a pastor friend of mine gave me. He says, if you ever get so confident that you're not nervous getting into the pulpit, then you're doing it yourself. Not relying on God. I get nervous. I get up here, and it's amazing. You open the book, turn the Bible to the right pages, and you start in, and it's like God takes over. It's been a blessing. And so he's the one that calls us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that empowers us to do what he's called us to do. And I don't care if that's a church member that God has given you a ministry of whatever. He will call you to that. He will empower you. He will lead you. He will do all of that so you can do what he's called you to do. And sometimes we mess up, right? Because we're human. How many times do you sing the wrong... you guys can hear Brother Fred when he sings, right? Even Brother Dirk or Brother Daniel. When I'm standing back here and I get on the wrong verse, you guys can't hear me. Praise the Lord. But whoever's standing here leading, you can hear them. These mics pick up pretty good. On top of the fact that if you're loud enough, you're going to hear regardless. But it's nice that God's the one that leads us. He also empowers us. And praise the Lord, he's the one that's called us. Because if he's called us, he's going to lead us and he's going to empower us. Those are good things. 1 Corinthians, stay over in Acts because we're coming back to Acts, but 1 Corinthians 2:4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." How many times have I said here, if you've come to hear from me, I'm sorry. If you've come to hear from God, that's what we're supposed to do. Not enticing words for me, but the power of God, of the Spirit of God, to give us what we need. Then the Spirit will call, lead, and empower, and send our missionaries. I can't even imagine being a missionary and just going haphazardly on their own and leaving God out of everything. How do you go to a foreign field and not have that be a call from God? You're not going to last long. Not from the missionaries I've talked to. God's the one that will keep you there. But there's many, many, many missionaries. In fact, we're still hearing it today. They'll go and they might make it 2 or 3 years on the field, and then they're back in the States again. Why? Well, if God called them, God would lead them and empower them. Now, some missionaries have had to come back for health reasons. Totally different thing. I'm talking about missionaries who go and they come back and they quit. They just throw in the towel. We've had missionaries that can't go back to their field, so they're ministering here in the United States while they wait to be able to get back to wherever God had called them to. In the meantime, they still want to be used of God. That shows me somebody who's been called of God, has a desire, and God is empowering them to do what He's called them to do. Just a different field. But they're still wanting to serve. They don't want to throw in the towel and say, "Well, God won't let me get back, so obviously I just sit here and do nothing." It's not their attitude. So God's taking care of that. So Acts 2, verse 29. I mean, excuse me, 8 and 29. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Acts 8:29, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." God knew who was there. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. God sends Philip, says, "Run and join yourself with them in the chariot." And he leads this man to Christ. God knew what needed to be done. God knew who he needed to send. God knew that man needed to be saved. And praise God, everything came together just like God had designed it. And then Acts 13, verses 2 and 4. Acts 13, verse 2. Says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Drop down to verse 4. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." God knew exactly what He was doing. He called those, He's empowered them, and He's sending them. And that's what you want to be involved in, right? If God's in it, you want to be a part of it. I've said a lot of times, if God's not in it, why do we want any part of it? It's going to be an uphill battle if God's not in it. If you've just decided, well, God's just not doing what He needs to do, so I'm going to step in and just help Him out, right? God doesn't need our help. Acts chapter 16 says, verses 6 and 7. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Drop down to verse 10. And it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So God can hinder going someplace that you are not supposed to be and open up the doors for you to go where you are supposed to go. And I think that's happened in several occasions with our missionaries. Lindquist couldn't go back to China. God closed that door. We've got the Kamars and the Rosencrantzes going back to Israel. Those doors have been closed again. I mean, the Kamars have tried four times to get back to Israel. The last one so far is to be ready to get to the plane. And couldn't go. God can move in mysterious ways and get us where he wants us. We just got to not be so dead set on what we want and not listening to the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit will empower us to fulfill the Great Commission through soul winning, teaching, and discipleship. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God says, we'll receive power once the Holy Spirit has come upon us, right? When did the Holy Spirit come upon us? At salvation. Not so then, but so now. We get the Holy Spirit right away. We have the power to go out and witness. We have the ability to do that. Some of us can talk a lot. We just need to talk about the right things, right? The important things. And then Revelation 22:17. And our last one, we're going to go to Matthew. So Revelation 22, verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It says, whoever, right? They say, come. It's not limited. Anyone can come, so if we go out and we share the gospel message, some are going to come, and some are going to reject. We have to get over the rejection part. We have to get to the point where it doesn't matter if they reject, because they're not rejecting us, they get to deal with God. Right? We all want everybody to come. But if you read the Word of God, it tells us that not everybody will. We have to learn to accept the fact that some will say no. It's hard because we know where they're destined to spend eternity. We know that. They don't have a clue, obviously. And some of them, they joke about the fact when they say, well, I'd just rather go to hell. Really? Maybe you should read about it first. Maybe you should see what it actually says in the Bible about hell. Because it doesn't sound like any place I would want to go. It doesn't sound like some resort that you want to go to. It's a place that's going to be a punishment for torments and all that for eternity. It's never going to end. And we'll end with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus is the one that has given us all power. We can do whatever he's told us. And he said, go. Not a suggestion. It's a command. Go. So we need to be doing that. So that concludes, perfect timing, by the way, the end of the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we keep busy. If we're honest, we keep him very busy. So we need to understand that. We need to be willing to listen and heed what the Holy Spirit tells us. His guidance and direction is invaluable. All right.